Chapter 17. Coruscant. Tahiri Vela stared out the tiny viewport of her detention cell, staring at the late afternoon traffic streaming past at a slightly lower altitude. Thousands and thousands of people swept by in their airspeeders every hour. And if they knew that Tahiri Vela, murderer of Admiral Galad Pellion, an officer and leader remembered as affectionately by the Galactic Alliance as by the Empire, stood behind this viewport, some would probably try to put a blaster bolt through the transparent steel. She knew she did not look like a killer. Tall and blonde-haired, attractive, though she did not enhance her looks with makeup or glamorous clothes, bearing curious faint scars on her forehead from events a lifetime ago, she looked like the sort of athlete who'd won championships early and then retired to a life of endorsing breakfast foods while smiling at the holocams. But it had been a long time since she'd smiled. She turned to her visitor, who was seated at the end of the bunk, that, aside from an unpartitioned refresher unit, was the only furniture in the tiny room she now called home. The visitor gave her an understanding nod.
"It's difficult to understand because it's based on logic that is alien to all rational minds. It's attorney logic, legal logic."
His name was Mardek Mool, a Bith. He had the elongated cranium and epidermal cheek folds of his species, and huge dark eyes that watched Tahiri as though he expected her to fly into a rage and use a force choke on him. It did not bode well for her case, she knew, that her own public defender seemed to believe her capable of senseless, cold-blooded murder just because she was frustrated. Still, Mool was competent, dedicated, and good-hearted, and he seemed determined to do the best job he could for her. Given that the courts had denied her the services of Nuwara Venn, on the grounds that his relationship to the Jedi Order posed a conflict of interest, Tahiri supposed she ought to be glad to have Mool. She moved away from the viewport. The transparasteel automatically darkened as she sat at the opposite end of the bunk from Mool.
"So explain it. They arrest me on charges of complicity in murder, crimes of which I'm clearly guilty."
"Don't ever say that. Not out loud, not to yourself. Not when you're alone, not even when you're asleep. You're not qualified to judge whether you're guilty."
"Thank you for that vote of confidence," Tahiri said dryly. "They accuse me of these crimes. They tell their side of the case to the press as if they're hopping mad and lusting for my blood, all the while leaving me sitting in here for the longest time in a medium security detention center from which I could escape sleepwalking, by the way. And now, suddenly, they're pressing the courts for a trial date. I just don't get it. I don't even understand why they are prosecuting instead of the Empire, when the man I killed..."
"The man you're alleged to have killed."
"Stop that. Was an Imperial citizen and died on an Imperial world. I'd have thought that the Empire would have jurisdiction and I'd be tried there."
Mool sighed.
"Tahiri, do you actually want to live long enough to figure out whether you deserve to live?"
She was silent a long moment, but she'd settled that issue in her own mind a while back, shortly before the security officers had come to arrest her.
"Yes."
"Then you need to start doing what I say. You never say, 'I did it,' for a couple of reasons. A belief in your own guilt can show in your face, in your body language, more than you think, and can persuade a judge or jury of your culpability when everything else is perfectly balanced. And you never know when a government might have court permission to place listening devices in your vicinity. I do a sweep whenever I visit, and that might be good enough for now. But I'm not an expert, and I won't always be around. They might not be able to convict you with the resources they already have. Don't give them any more."
"All right. So, I'm not guilty."
"You say it, but you still don't believe it. Meaning you think that every one of your decisions was your own making, and that Jason Solo had absolutely no influence over you."
"Well, of course he had some influence over me."
"How much?"
"It's impossible to quantify."
"Correct."
He gave her an approving nod.
"I think it was more influence than even you are able to recognize. He preyed on your insecurities. He isolated you, making himself the sole point of reference for your worldview. which means your ethics and understanding of right and wrong. He may have used force abilities on you, abilities you never saw being employed. Tahiri, every one of us wants to believe that he or she is mentally competent at all times, but nobody is sane at every moment of his life. Not a soldier or pilot who has killed and seen friends killed throughout a career. Not a Jedi who struggles with light side and dark side issues for all her life. And not a teenage girl who saw the love of her life die and who later got to be led back into his presence again and again by his charming brother. Where in the middle of all that do you even have a chance to be consistently sane?
Tahiri felt a stirring of hope. But to accept Mool's explanation would mean surrendering her belief that she'd always been in charge of her own thoughts, her own decision-making. That would be an awful conclusion to come to.